Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how the urban exodus is real. People are moving out of where they live for a bunch of reasons that we'll discuss in droves.
I bet people listening to this right now are saying, yep, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we're done. We left. You know, and I've seen people go far, like back to Canada, where they came from. Not kidding.
Yep.
From Southern California, pack up and say, we're out here, man.
It's real.
With families and kids going and moving with parents.
You know, and that doesn't surprise me. Does this surprise you that this is their reaction? What I really want to talk about is why.
No, because we've all thought about it.
You know, people, we all should have this mentality like the Marines, you know, adapt and overcome. And that's all they're doing. You know, life has thrown some stuff at them, for better or for worse, and they're making some changes, hopefully for the better, mm-hmm. for their family. So,
you're right. I would argue that most of them that are doing this are going to say, I'm glad I did it.
Me too. That's really the show here.
Thank you.
Exodus is maybe has been a negative. It could have a negative, connotation. Like there's a hurricane caused an exodus.
You know what's funny? If I wrote all these podcast topics and the titles, they would be so worded differently.
It would be all girls.
Oh, like, it's hilarious.
This title be?
Oh my gosh.
It'd be like people packed up their picket fence and.
No, it wouldn't be like that, but it wouldn't be like. Whatever that is. It wouldn't be.
You want to know the truth? I soften these titles.
From what you really want to write?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I just think that's the nature of men and women.
This is you softening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe not this one.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Lucas wrote, hi, everyone. One of my goals for Land Academy is to someday return to my home state of Vermont. Is there anyone in this community that has experience in the state of Vermont? If so, I would appreciate some pointers. I had looked into purchasing property for myself over the last few years, and I was stunned by the high cost of septic design and build. It's not uncommon for people to spend $35,000 to $45,000 on a septic system. I am told that mining and a new quarry activity has been halted in Vermont, so the all mound systems need to be transported from out of state, and it also drives up the costs. Sheesh. Aside from that, land can be expensive there anyway.
Yeah.
I'd love to speak with someone who's had success in buying and selling in Vermont. I have a feeling they are a non-solicit state.
By the way,
did they say? I'm curious. Was there a bunch of answers already?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
By the way, I think this is Headshot Lucas.
I was thinking that, too.
So, Headshot Lucas, you're incredibly intelligent, and this is an awesome question.
Wait. It should be Glam Shot, because I do like the Glam Shot. Remember those in the mall? How sad is that?
Yeah, I do.
Can you imagine if I came home with you for your birthday, and I had a picture of me with a bow around my neck that I had taken at the Glam Shots at the mall?
See, that's the same kind of like internal. Where does that come from?
I don't know.
Like I had somebody say to me a long time ago, this is years and years ago. Hey, happy birthday! Your present is that I'm here.
Oh, that's not
nice. What I think a glam shot is.
Oh.
Hey, happy birthday! Here's a picture of me with scantily clothing.
That's not nice.
I want you to buy me a scotch or.
Happy
or,
that I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. I've heard that too.
You have?
Well, yeah, a version of that.
Are you friends with any of those people anymore?
Well, someone said, happy birthday. Your present is half of what I owe you. What the heck? What is that all about?
Like money?
Yeah. Won't even go there. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about?
It's funny how we remember these crazy
things. You know what I'm talking about?
Things, I think so.
Okay, yeah.
How we remember these crazy little tiny little blips in time of like, wow.
Yeah. That's not nice. If you owe someone something and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's not a gift. Or maybe for them it is a gift. That's probably the reality. They don't normally follow through. And I was lucky enough on my birthday that they did.
Did you get the other half?
Yes. But
everybody's square?
Yes, everybody's square. But
well, happy birthday, everybody's square.
Yeah, thanks. Happy birthday, we're square. Whatever. I
mean, all men know not to buy your woman a Washington washing machine for their birthday or a mixer.
You would think they would know that. Not, and I'm not saying you. I just know other people that get weird gifts.
I know what
you
I buy you.
No, you are good. For you who don't know, don't do that. Your wife said she really wants some new fluffy pillows. Not a good Christmas present.
Floppy pillows.
Fluffy pillows.
Oh, fluffy pillows.
Pillows, not a good Christmas present. Thank you.
Here's my gauge. I have a gauge for what I gift buying. Number one, they would never buy it for themselves, ever. Number two, it's something that they have referred to in the past loosely. Number three is optional.
I'm making mental notes here now.
Number three is optional. It's something they use all the time. So that's a good gift for men, but not so much for women. Women want it. They need it to be special. Like, I ate probably way too much ramen noodles, and not the bad ones, the good ones. So that's always a good gift for me.
Ramen noodles?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, what?
Real high-end ones.
I know this, like, about you, because I have got you fancy chopsticks and bowls for your ramen noodles.
And I love them.
And you love them. I know that about you. Thank you.
Number four, spend 2 to 3 times as much money as you anticipated.
You know, these are all good things, and I kind of subconsciously do them too. I just bought my friend a really pretty bracelet for her birthday. And yeah, I applied those things. So, cool. All right.
Oh, this question about Vermont.
Yeah.
Excuse me. What I love about this question is that it's not about San Bernardino County, California. Property pricing. So the thing about septic is, it's expensive, but it's all a level playing field. So whoever's going to put the septic in is subject to the same price. So, all right, great. You know, Jill and I live in an environment where it's the weirdest real estate environment I've ever seen, how expensive it is, but we're subject all equally. So it's all a level playing field. What I love about Vermont is that nobody talks about it too much. So mail away.
You know what I would do?
Anything, honestly, that's, if it were strange and weird from a location standpoint, it's going to do well with mail.
I wouldn't want to build my own thing. I would buy something that someone's done all the work and then change it. It's like, I don't want to put in a pool. You know, I want someone who's done the upfront expense and the work and the time and the permits. And I don't know how about Vermont is, but I just know how it is here in Southern California. And the permitting process and all of the city and legislature, whatever it is, rules far exceed how long it takes to build a house.
I mean, I'm going to one-up you, Jill. Show me a time where it makes more sense to buy a house than build a house than buy one.
Correct.
You know, I think that may have been true a lot of years ago, but maybe it's not anymore.
That's true.
Almost ever.
That's true. You're right. Back in the day, you know, grandpa built grandma a house, mm-hmm. and it was the cheapest way to do it. And it was great. Not anymore. Good point.
All these septic systems that he's referring to, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty confident in saying they're all grandfathered in. So buy an old house that's fallen down and just replace it or something. There's a lot of different ways to do it. Should these things scare you and make you not want to mail there? No, not at all.
Right.
In fact, I think they would encourage me because it's weird. The most successful people in our group, both in the advanced group and otherwise, take the concepts that they've learned from us, apply it to their own thing, and go off and do something, whether it's in a weird location or a weird little niche like replacement of mobile homes or whatever, and they're just off to the races. So that's what I see this as, the beginning of that thought process, and it's good. You know, please don't put headshots on your mailer.
Right.
Today's topic, urban exodus is real. This is the meat of the show. People are moving in droves everywhere. They're moving out of cities. People who have always wanted to move into cities are moving in there. Real estate prices in urban and rural locations are skyrocketing. Did I say rural?
I don't know.
Subdivision and rural locations are skyrocketing, and urban locations are remaining kind of stagnant to slightly going down. And when I say slightly, I mean 1 to 2%, like in San Francisco, which is absolutely opening the door and doors for people who want to. There's still a lot of people who want to live in an urban environment. Mm-hmm. So this COVID thing, maybe they're young, the COVID thing doesn't affect them, and there's a lot, tons of jobs and the whole thing. So who knows why? I'm not here to talk about why. There's all kinds of reasons why to move out of the city and to move into the city, depending mm-hmm. on who you are. What I'm here to talk about is that it's real. The markets are volatile, like we talked about on Monday. And it's a great time as an investor, or even personally, to find a place where you want to live. Mm-hmm. So,
you know what happened right there? I immediately jumped into, you know what's, here's my mind, where my mind just went for a second. I'll share this. I got up my sales game, because you're right. There's so many properties that we have that aren't even on the MLS anywhere. Like, I got it. Or just available out there. They're not listed. We've collected them. I've got new ones. I need to get them out there faster and in a system better. I even have to up my game.
Yeah.
And the whole point of me going there real quick is, like, you're reminding me how fast things are moving right now, how fast people are buying properties, and I'm a ding-dong for not queuing them up to sell real fast. So
here's what's changed in this recession. Pretty dramatically over the last one, or any one that I've ever seen, any recession I've ever experienced, is the internet. We have, it's constantly being reported by Redfin and Realtor and Zillow and Trulia and Realty Track and all the large places, the places on the internet where property is listed, even LandWatch, the non-MLS property, report phrases that are being searched for. And so how to buy a house is up like 14,000% from right. March. Or what credit, strange phrases. They're not strange. I'm not here to judge. I would not have guessed that these phrases would ever get searched ever, let alone 14,000% increase. What is the minimum credit score you need to buy a house?
Right.
How much money do you need to buy a house? So these are huge, and where these are being searched in Google search geographically gets reported. You know, for my taste, they don't report it enough, but it's their company, so I can't tell them what to do. But they're nice enough to share a lot of this, and we talk about this on the Thursday webinar all the time. You can tell where people are buying what just on what they're searching for. It translates to real dollars. That's the thing about the internet. I don't think a lot of really young people understand what goes on the internet translates to dollars.
Mm-hmm.
In a really good way, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you don't think that they realize that?
Uh-uh. I think they understand that they buy their groceries on the internet. They understand that that it's probably cheaper to buy a car and better to buy a car. But from a retail slash just consumer standpoint, everybody gets that. You know,
online.
And they scoff at people our age that because we don't buy our groceries on there yet. And they're not wrong. But I don't think that they understand that if they're sitting in an apartment on south of Market in San Francisco, looking at all the listings in Lake Tahoe, that translates to dollars for both people that are advertising on all these sites. And, you know, it's...
Is there an age range that you're thinking, or just all age range?
I don't want to get into that.
Oh, okay,
I don't think... You know what? I don't mean to pick on young people. I mean everybody. I don't think everybody understands how incredibly valuable typing in stuff into Google is for everyone.
I thought everybody knew that. And I'm not discounting you. I just, I'm apparently in my own little world over here.
This just fascinates me. Do you think your mom knows that?
Yeah, I do.
You think she understands that?
The value of key mm-hmm. search and SEO and that kind of thing?
Not SEO.
Oh.
Just the value of typing something in.
Right.
Where she's
what
sitting.
It means to somebody else?
Yeah. Like your mom might type in what's a better way to play canasta? From central Arizona.
I guess I see your point. So again, I'm assuming everybody's gets that. It seems like I'm assuming everybody would want to buy something for $1.50 instead of $3.
That I get.
That's
I think
my
everybody
point.
Gets that.
I'm like, right, why wouldn't everybody think that?
Everybody gets that.
Okay.
I think it's pretty obvious that stuff's cheaper to buy on the internet than it is if you walk into the store, and it's obvious why. But if you have people in an urban area that are searching through the listings in a in a satellite area like Detroit and Chicago are saturating the hell.
Now I see.
I'm searching the hell out of Traverse City right now.
Okay, now I see. People like us know how to come in and find that back-end data and use that data. Now I know what you're talking about. And it doesn't have to be talking on a phone. You could be calling us, you know, we in our business as investors, I could spend my time calling all around the state to brokers and find out what's hot, what do people want, what are they buying? Or I could use data like you do and come in, come at it the much easier way from the back end and see, oh,
we understand.
These are what people are searching, mm-hmm, what searching. They're clicking on, what they're sharing.
Hold on a second, Shelley. Let me be real clear about this.
Okay.
Clicks everybody gets. Oh, that that video of that guy belching his head off gets 17,000 views an hour. Right. We all get that. And if now it's a good advertising candidate, and the people that are actually viewing it from a data standpoint are more likely to buy the soda that he's drinking, and we all understand that.
Right.
I am talking about searches.
Okay.
Not click-through rates, not advertising dollars. Not,
I hear you.
Not keywords, not bids for words.
I hear you. I think it overwhelms people, and I don't think they know what to do with it, too. I understand.
It doesn't overwhelm me at all.
I know that. That's why
I have you. Does it overwhelm you?
That's why I have you.
If Hertz announced bankruptcy, Hertz, the rental car company, so there's all these, they keep announcing, we've got these cars.
Right.
You know, we got
to get
to
see these great deals, but whatever.
And so that's a search.
Is it happening?
People, it's happening.
Okay. Are people really getting good deals?
Yes.
Because I go look and I'm like, I'm not spending that.
Well, what I've been reading is this, the searches on that are, you know, how do I buy a Hertz car? Or how do I buy a used car? The net effect of what happened is they flooded the market with so many cars that it's hurting other people who are selling used cars. The used car market is deflated by pretty dramatically.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
The pricing market. And it's all based on searches. So there's, you can make a career out of this. I'm sure. Hopefully it's like a component of big data.
I'm going to save you right now.
She's not talking to me.
We could go into this. No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. We could go into this for another hour, I'm sure. But I'm going to have him divide this up into three shows next week. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Next Monday, join us for another interesting episode of the Land Academy Show. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You know, that's the reason there's two of us.
Yes. Sometimes we save each other. Sometimes we save others.
Sometimes
we save ourselves from
sometimes
stuff.
We fail together.
That happens too. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find
our
content.
Wait, that could be an extra. Hold on a second. Say it again. This could be the new Friday extra. Sometimes we save each other. Sometimes we save others.
Oh.
What's the other one?
Sometimes we save our... I don't know.
Sometimes we fail together.
Oh.
That's a whole extra for the show.
Okay, save that. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't done already, please zip over to our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us create the type of content that you're here for, we hope. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest for future shows. And you know me, it's all about that data.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.